Well, I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to look at this morning's message. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for how yesterday we could celebrate the great gift of your Son. And that's something that we want to do all through the year, and to remind ourselves of how Jesus coming into our world is such a glorious and great expression of your amazing love for us. And a love that has been from the beginning of time, even when Adam and Eve sinned. We thank you for this love that you have for us, a love that never ends, a love that caused you to send your Son at the right time to come into our world to save us. And we thank you for how at communion we remember Jesus' death and we remember his love for us, the one who gave his life for us so that we could be right with you. And despite all the things that happen in life, and I really feel for Ivy, just hearing her this morning share, and there's others too who are struggling, we are so thankful that you are a loving God, and you have loved our soul, and saved us through faith in Jesus, and thank you for helping us through life as well, with all the ups and downs. And there's no faithful friend like you. And Lord, we just thank you for this morning, how we can come. It is a hot day, and the air conditioning here is not the best at the moment, but Lord, we're here because we love you and we love to have fellowship with each other, and we thank you for the privilege we have now to consider your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I better not lose that card. I might put it somewhere. It dropped out and I found it. Good. All right. Well, as you all know, it was announced, my wife Colleen, it's her birthday today. She's made the big something, oh, I'm allowed to say it. The big 60. One of my friends said I was 70. You remember that? So Colleen has made 60. I've got it right. And she has been receiving some lovely presents already. And she's going to be receiving lots of lovely presents also today. And on a big birthday party too, I imagine. And yeah, and it's great to do that, to celebrate life and to give gifts. And I just want to remind Colleen that, do you remember the gift that I gave you, Colleen? A long time ago, I have shared this with the church. I still have it. It's a magnificent present. It took me a long time to find this. It's a magnificent tray. There it is. The Australian scene. I thought it had gold filigree around it, but it must have got lost somewhere. But this was the very first present I gave Colleen. Can't remember if it was Christmas or her birthday. Could have been both. And I remember Colleen, as you know, is very expressive. When she saw the gift, I could read her straight away and realise, oh no, not a good gift. I have improved since then. I'll put this over here. Yeah, I have improved since then. But you know what? I'm not the only one who I look at the wise men, right, and I look at what were they thinking when they gave those gifts to Jesus? Has anyone ever given the gifts that they gave to somebody who's just given birth to a babe? Probably not. You know, we're thinking of rattles and bibs and all sorts of things like that. But we read in the Bible that they gave these incredible gifts that we would not even think suitable for a baby. But you know, we should know this. They were incredible gifts, priceless and precious, and so appropriate because of who Jesus is. And I love that. Gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold is a gift given, and it's a gift given fit for a king. And who is Jesus? The King of Kings. The King of God's eternal kingdom. And frankincense is something that is used by priests. And who is Jesus? Our great high priest, the one who died for us and rose again and intercedes for us before the throne. And what about the myrrh? The myrrh is something that is used on dead people for embalming the body. And Jesus, remember this wonderful phrase, he was born for sacrifice. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and that gift of myrrh was actually very consciously given because of how he would die for us. So that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Alright, so this morning I want us to continue on looking at various truths in the Christmas story. We will look at the wise men, but first of all, I want us to look at Christ, I want to look at the shepherds, and then I want to look at the wise men. And I want to look at it in this sense. I want to look at Christ coming. I want to look at the shepherd seeking and the wise men worshipping. I want us to see these beautiful things in the Christmas story. So let's get into it. Christ coming into our world, I just want to remind myself and you how extraordinary it was. Never forget that. It makes me think of what the angel said to Mary. The angel said, "With God, all things are possible." So what is the angel thinking about when he said that? He's thinking especially about how a virgin would be giving birth to Jesus. It would be miraculous. It was going to be by the Holy Spirit. But something else that's so incredible is the fact that it was God's eternal Son, co-creator, who was becoming a human being. That is just incredibly awesome, beyond our comprehension, but with God, all things are possible. Isn't that true? So this is the basis of the Christmas story. But let's have a look now at the angel and what the angel shared in Luke chapter 2 on the night that Jesus was born. And we read these great words in verses 8 down to verse 11. "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And then we read, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He is Christ the Lord.'" What fantastic words they are they not? And I look at these things, and we looked at this yesterday at Christmas Day service. They're fantastic words. The angel is telling us that he was bringing good news of great joy. And it's all because of who was coming into our world, who had been born, who has been born, what should fill us with great joy? Jesus, the Saviour. He's our Saviour, our Rescuer, the one who brings us into right relationship with God. Now, we looked at all that yesterday, but what I want to highlight with you this morning is those great words, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." Let's look at that. Jesus came into our world for all people. Are you glad about that? He came into the world for us Aussies. Wow! Praise God! He came into the world for all people. He came to be the Saviour for all people. Let's understand that. You know, the criminal in a prison, the drug addict, the person who is a royal person, a person who's just so lowly, a slum. Jesus came into the world for all people. For men and women, boys and girls, young and old. He came into the world for us. That should be so exciting and so delightful as we take that on board. It says that the angel proclaimed that. He has come into the world for all people to be our Saviour. And I love how the Christmas story has this built into it. So we have the angel declaring these great words, first of all, to shepherds. Do you understand what a shepherd was back in those days? A shepherd was a lowly position. A lowly, lowly position, even in Jewish society. They were Jewish people as well. These were Jewish shepherds in the hills around Bethlehem. So they're Jewish people, and they are lowly people. And do you see what is implied by the angel coming to the shepherds? The angel coming to those shepherds, the implication is, Jesus has come to even save you shepherds. I'm telling you the good news to you. Isn't that wonderful? Even the lowly are welcomed by Jesus. I love that. But then I have this contrast. We have in Matthew chapter 2 a completely different set of people. The Magi, the wise men. And they don't have an angelic visit. What do they have? They have this incredible star, a miraculous star, that somehow they know is a star that signals to them that the Saviour or the King of the Jews has been born. We don't know how they knew that. We know that there's nowhere in the Old Testament in regards to that. Somehow, God had communicated that great truth to them. And that's no problem for me. The whole world is the Lord's. Every person has their being from Him. Somehow, wonderfully, God had communicated to them about a special star that would signal the birth of the King of the Jews. Isn't that right? And look at this. They are going to make this incredible journey all the way from Persia, perhaps, somewhere there, all the way to Bethlehem. And they are also, if you think about it, are also welcome. They are being drawn and they are welcome to come to Jesus because Jesus is their Saviour too. Who are these people? Magi. We don't really know. We think they probably were not Jewish people. That's what the main consensus is. So that means that non-Jews are coming. They're also high caste people. High people. Not like the shepherds. They're welcome. Wow. You know, one of our carols, it says, are we three kings? They could have been kings. We know that they were probably astrologers in international science. So mighty people. And they were the ones with great gifts, so they had a lot of money. They were able to buy expensive gifts. And they came. So don't you love the Christmas story? You've got shepherds, lowly people, Jewish people. You've got wise men, high and mighty people, if you can call it that, and non-Jews. And they're all coming to Jesus because it's so true. As the angel said, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for everybody, for all people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. I can't help but rejoice in that. I love the scope of God's salvation. It's for the whole world, for all of us. If only we would turn to Jesus and trust in Him. And that's the case for today, isn't it? It doesn't matter who we are, what our rank is, what our position is. It doesn't matter where we've been, what we have done. No matter how bad we've been, Jesus is our Saviour if we would turn to Him and trust in Him. Praise the Lord. Christ came for us. Christ came for us. But let's now spend a bit of time looking now at the shepherds. And what I want to look at is what happened after the angel had spoken to them, and then they had that magnificent angelic choir sing praises to God. Let's have a read of Luke 2, verses 15 to 20. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. All right, so what I want you to picture here is look at the shepherds. Look what they are doing. What are the shepherds doing? Are they going like this? Wow, that was a wonderful experience. Let's talk about this incredible experience we've had. And we'll just remain on this little hillside, just glorying in what we have experienced. Nah. Or maybe they thought, it'd be nice to see the baby, but we've got an important duty. We're shepherds. We've got to be hanging out with these sheep. That's just how it is. Nah, they never did that. What did they do? We all know. In a hurry, they left the sheep because the sheep no longer became important as seeking Jesus. There's the key thing. They sought Jesus. They did put no block in the way. No matter whether they were shepherds or not, they knew their first priority right now is to seek Jesus. Isn't that right? I tell you what, that is such a powerful picture. That is how we are all meant to be as well. We're meant to be those who seek Jesus. God gave His Son. We are meant to be seeking Him just like the shepherd. Oh, how I wish that the whole world would be seeking Jesus. That we would no longer do what most people do, you know, push Jesus away, push Jesus out of Christmas, or just get caught up in the festive season, you know, we have a little bit of an experience, a nice time where we sing carols and then that's it, no more. How we are meant to be seeking Jesus. And I've got to reprimand myself and ourselves how often as Christians we're not really seeking too much. We have learnt to be content and satisfied just coming to church and one day we'll be in heaven when all along we are meant to be seeking Jesus. The shepherds are a beautiful picture of that. There's nothing more important than seeking Him, even if you already are a Christian. To seek Him, to know Him, to be able to say like the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed. Friend, I want you all to be like those shepherds. Let go of all the other things in your life. Put them as secondary and seek Christ. I want to share with you those beautiful words from Philippians, where the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. In verse 10, oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. And I reckon as we come to the end of the year, the most important thing I would be telling you to do for the brand new year, no, not, don't wait for January 1st, even right now, seek Christ. Seek Him. Have a heart committed to Him. Reading His Word, praying, seeking the Lord, getting to know Him more. It's not about your jobs and careers. The shepherds didn't, because they're shepherds, stay on the hills. They sought Jesus and how we need to do the same. And I love an Old Testament verse, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 is very well known, that's the plans God has for us. What about verse 13? Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. It's a promise. You'll know the Lord and seek, and when you seek Him, you'll know Him, and what a blessing it is. And I tell you what, as I have done that, as I understood when I became a Christian, I've only just begun. Begun to what? Begun to know God, and I have to seek Him and know Him. What a blessing it is to do that. That's how you come to experience the beautiful fruit of the Spirit, of peace and joy and contentment and satisfaction, because the Lord is everything. How we are to seek Him. Oh, let us be like the shepherds of old. Rightio, now let's have a look at the wise men. And the wise men, as we know, they sought Jesus too, didn't they? We have the story of the wise men in Matthew chapter 2. And I don't know if you realise what a journey it was. We believe that they were somewhere east, like Persia. It would have been a journey that would have taken months and months. That's probably why they weren't probably there when Jesus was born, but like a little toddler, a young little lad. And they made this big journey. It would have been a dangerous journey across the desert, across a thirsty land. There could have been bandits and robbers on the way, but they made this journey. They sought Christ, no matter what. And they would have experienced the extreme weather of a desert from a hot day like we are having right now. Boy, it's hot. I tell you, I feel hot. And also the freezing cold at night, but didn't deter them. They were on their way to find Jesus. And I love the story, you know, it's got all those things in it. They're going along, and of course, the star is sort of indicating that it's somewhere over here, and they just decide, it must be Jerusalem, because Jerusalem is a big city, and it's got the palace, surely Jesus would be born there. And you remember, they find out, wrong place, wrong place. He was going to be born in a little village, according to that incredible one-verse prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And so they're directed to Bethlehem. And we pick up the reading from Matthew chapter 2, and we read verses 9 to 11, these words we read. And having heard the king, that's King Herod, they went their way, and lo, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, until it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I love that story too. Wow. Look at this. They are seeking Jesus, but they do something else. As they come and they see the child with its mother Mary, what do? You got to try and picture this. A little child, and they, these grown men, these men of wisdom, these men who are high in regards to human status, they fall down on the ground. They bow themselves before this little child and they worship him. Isn't that extraordinary? Whenever does that happen? And it happens because somehow they knew that this little baby, this little child, was very, very important. They knew him as the King of the Jews. He's more than that though. He's the King of all. The Lord of all. And he's the great Saviour of the world. And how appropriate that they fell down before him and worshipped him. Isn't it? And you know, again, I can't help but think of this is a beautiful, powerful picture for us. As we think of our Lord Jesus, we are meant to have the same response to Jesus as they did. We are meant to be worshippers of him. He is God as well. God the Son. God with us. Emmanuel. And he deserves our full worship, where we bow before him and give him our allegiance. The wise men are showing to us what our response should also be to our Lord Jesus. I love in the Bible the pictures that are given. Shepherds seeking, wise men worshipping. That's how we are meant to be as well. Isn't it true? Beautiful pictures of what we are to be. And you know, it's just playing on the word wise men worshipping. We will be wise people if we would worship. Are you wise? It's a very wise and very good thing to be a worshipper of Jesus. To be a person who bows before him. Because the Bible tells us that one day he is coming back to judge. He is a loving, righteous ruler, and he's coming back to judge. And those who don't bow their knee to him will be judged by him. But those who have come to recognize who he is and who have submitted to him, they are loved by him and are welcome to him. Isn't that lovely? You know, way back, 1000 BC, talking about old things, King David, he wrote an amazing psalm, Psalm 2, a psalm about Jesus. And in the very last verse of that psalm, Psalm 2, verse 12, we read these words. Worship the Son. How did David know that God had a Son? God spoke to David. Worship the Son, and it tells us why. Lest you become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. That's quite strong, that, isn't it? But then it says, how blessed are all who take refuge in him. Amen. That's right. What a refuge Jesus is. If only we would bow ourselves to him and give ourselves to him, then wow, we are so blessed. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. I just want to finish by saying to you all now, another great thing I learned from the Christmas story is that the wise men came with these extraordinary gifts, very precious and priceless gifts, gifts worth a lot of money, the gold, frankincense and myrrh. And in some of our carols it speaks about this. What can we give? What are we to give to our Lord Jesus? I hope you all know. Something much more precious than gold and silver and bronze, more precious than frankincense or any other perfume, more precious than myrrh. What does God long for from us? What can we give to Jesus? And we ought to give him this. Our heart. Our lives. Our loyalty. Our service. And when I look at that, I go, absolutely, absolutely, especially when I have come to understand that Jesus came into our world and he gave his life up for me. And not only that, in heaven before the throne, he continues to intercede for me. He has given himself for me. How dare I hold myself back? The great gift that we are to give back to God is our heart, is our life. And I want to just finish by saying to you a verse that brought me to Jesus and brought me to my knees, where I called on Jesus to save me. And I remember these words where Jesus says, "No one can become a disciple of mine," this is in Matthew chapter 16, "unless he denies himself, takes up his cross and follows me." Now listen to these next words. "Whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever gives up his life for me shall find it." What a paradox of life. There it is, the paradox. You want to hold on to your life and live your life, do your own thing and push Jesus out, you're going to lose. You're going to lose and perish. But the person who gives their life to Jesus, they what? They find life, abundant life, spiritual life, eternal life. And the thing that really got me is the next verse. I remember this, never forget it. Like a knife going through me to convict me. "Ian, what will it profit a person if you gain the whole world and you forfeit your soul?" Wow, that's the one that got me. Thank you, Lord. It brought me to that place of humility and I realized I need Jesus. I give my life to Jesus. That's when I was born again and became a Christian. Praise the Lord for that. Yeah. So I pray that you might respond to God's great love. What a love that He gave His Son for you. And Jesus came and gave His life up for us. May we respond by giving our life to Him. Let's pray. Now, Father, I just can't help but say thank you so much for the extraordinary grace and the greatness of your gift to this broken and fallen world that has hurt you deeply, how we have rebelled so greatly against you. And yet your love is so big and mighty, it's higher than the highest heavens, to think that you should give us your Son. And then we, even around the communion table, it made me think of how Jesus gives himself into the hands of people who hated him. He handed his life over. What love that he should do this to save us. Lord, any of us would have just protested against the injustice done to us, but Jesus didn't. And we are so grateful for his love in laying down his life to save us. And I pray, Lord, in a world where we so often are compromised, help us to give our life to Jesus. Help us to really love him, to fall before him, to seek him with all our heart, to worship him, and to give him our heart of hearts, our heart, that we would live for him and love him. And Lord, thank you for the promise that those who do that, we are truly saved, and we're going to be in glory one day around the throne. We can't think of anything better than that, to be around you, our Father, and to be where your Son is, the eternal shepherd, our shepherd, who will ever lead us beside the springs of the water of life, as we read in the book of Revelation. Lord, I just pray that you would bless these truths to us, these thoughts that we've shared, and may you minister to our soul through your Spirit. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.